Wasn't it ready?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
My name is Alejo Sablon, Board Chair for Guam Regional Transit Authority. And it is, as I watched, 2:00, 2 p.m., August 11, 2020. This meeting is now called to order. This time I'd like to have roll call. Amira, please call roll.
We have Chairman Sablon.
Present.
Vice Chairman Yaguro. Honorable Mayor Sisbigo.
Present.
Honorable Mayor Paco.
I'm sorry.
Honorable Director.
Thank you. That makes it a quorum. At this time, I would like to emphasize that we still have social distancing procedures. Everyone must wear their face masks and practice social distancing during this meeting. Item number 5, a review of the minutes of June 9, 2020. Directors, you had a copy of previously sent.
July 14th.
Okay, review of minutes. Okay. Oh, July 13th.
July 14th.
I'm sorry, July 14th. That's,
Move to approve.
There's a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
Aye.
Okay, Director Pasricu makes a motion to approve, seconded by Mayor Paco. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone say nay? The ayes have it. For item number 6, we have public participation. I would like to remind everyone that you have 3 minutes, please, to present your issues or concern. If you're going beyond 3 minutes, I would like to have you submit the rest of your concerns or issues in writing or via the internet or by phone, for that matter. You're more than welcome to hear your concerns. We have the first person on the list.
Kevin, do you have anything to...
Do you have anything? Great. Thank you for coming.
Ms. Bernie?
Ms. Bernie?
Yes. My name is Bernie Diaz-Lehman. And
so we can record. Can you come up a little bit closer if possible? Because we're recording the minutes if possible.
Oh, okay. Tell me if my 3 minutes is up.
Okay.
It's up.
No problem.
Okay. My name is Bernie Diaz-Lehman, and I came across the paratransit transportation back in 2015. I was in a car accident. And I just want to commend everything that is going on now with the GRTA compared to back in 2015. I have been across the U.S. and family living there, and also I am from Guam, and I just see the improvement with the administration. Your current director manager self, Cavalca, is doing an excellent job, and I can see that when I'm picked up at my residence, it's on time or 10 minutes early. When I call in to the dispatch to make a schedule, they're very friendly and very clean. They're very helpful. Everything is all positive with the current administration. And I want to thank you, Sal, and all the board members. And it's beautiful to be back on our island. And actually, I'm caught in between here with this COVID-19. It's really sad that we're all facing this mask pandemic. And but bottom line is, it's beautiful, the transportation. I've written also the public transit. We do have to make improvements, as far as, you know, like back in the States, there was millions of people. And here in our island of Guam, it's small. The population is small. But like there's beautiful improvements that I've seen, and I am reading that the administration have already saved the government of Guam over $1 million of what this current administration sell the Balta, meaning the GRTA, paratransit, the transit authority, the buses, and all is positive. I can say, you know, from here on forward, we can all work together. Because having unity and just communication among one another will help improve the system, the transit system. I've come across, there's improvements where more bus stations need to be more confirmed. Another thing is also the scheduling. People coming on the bus, it doesn't matter the public transit or, you know, the paratransit, the scheduling. And it's good, timely manner as far as pickup and accessibility and reliability. And I see that. I see a lot of the improvement the last year. Is my 3 minutes up?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for that kind comments. And GRTA is by no means perfect, but I can assure you that Team GRTA is moving forward to try and, you know, improve the system as much as we can in spite of the COVID-19 situation. And you will see in the coming future more projects coming up, more developments, and a lot of people, if they look back just a couple of years back, and maybe you have experienced that, you know from the past, as compared to now, some of the improvements that has happened, and people just need to take a look at the media from previews and the K-57 reports or complaints, concerns, and it's not saying that we don't have any complaints now, but you know, we're working as much as we can. We're trying to get people or the materials ready to make those improvements. I thank you for that. Next on the listing? Anybody else?
Ms. Evelyn,
you have a...
Anybody else? You love the girl, me also. You're the last.
Yeah,
but there was no public announcement out for nearly the entire day regarding GRTA. So this is the second time that we have put issues and we do not have an alternative number. If there was no one in the admin office, we wouldn't have been able to reach people between the hours of 5:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock. So we do have repetitive issues here that have been ongoing but has not been rectified. And this board is familiar with the situation. And I have not seen any remedies in regards to that problem. What happens is as soon as there's a problem, that's when admin takes action when the problem hits. So that Saturday, the phone went down again later on in the day. So I did inquire whether there was any public announcement out regarding the vote, and there was none. Not any media has received any indication from this agency stating that there was a phone problem. So there was no alternative number all that afternoon, that I even missed my ride. So there is some positive movement on this agency, but there's still a lot to rectify, and some of them do not require any additional expenditure. We really still need to work together, and yes, we can work together, but we need the agency to do its fiduciary duties and responsibilities as well. And I'm not referring to the admin side. Admin can only do so much on their end, but it falls on to the leadership of the agency. So, a second shot in less than 1 year, we have a phone issue. And there's still no alternative numbers. In the previous years, before GRTA had taken over, we did have alternative numbers as soon as we have phone systems down and public notice to the public, especially to individuals who have no other alternatives, those messages go out. This is the second shot for GRTA that had a phone system down, but there was no public notice with respect to the public and the people who rely on public.
Thank you for your comments. If you wanted to, you know, to put that in black and white, if you want to send an email.
It was already notified into dispatch.
Okay.
And notified into the agency. So I really don't know how much documentation is required, but we really need to, this is not an overnight thing, but for now we need to seek alternative ways to be prepared for the next round of telephone calls. To the previous, from peak services to KI, if there's a phone situation, there's an automatic response to the community from the provider and an alternative number to be. GRTA has not made a progress yet, as this is
Well, I believe it is coming with the one call, one click system coming in. I will see some differences.
I
but
think we want to just wait for the one call, one click. But that's going to take a while. You may need to seek different numbers from a different agency, if it's not GPA, Docomo, or you know, another phone company.
Okay. Maybe you can speak on that, Mr. Balta?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just advised by my staff that the telephone outage occurred on Friday.
Emergency?
And the backup was up at admin office. There was no downtime on Saturday.
Okay.
It was Friday, not Saturday.
Was it an emergency?
Documented by GTA, sir. Yeah. We will get confirmation from GTA and we'll report back.
I didn't know this better than the public matters we use it. And this is just based on every day. It's whatever Mr. Balta says goes. And the community is not any concern to whatever the transportation service is all about. It's time for really this board and their own honor to go into it, to look at the situations that have occurred and has not been rectified. It's not always on the call of whatever the leadership says, because really the service is here for the community, for the public in itself, and not just the agency alone. And he has said many times, and I'll pass the good things that he has done for the agency, that is, yes, he did come in with buses down to one or two. With his leadership, he was able to bring up 7, 10, maybe more. That was a good progress. But on other little bitty things, such as phones and informing the board of important things, that seems to be a repetitive issue.
Okay.
So really, this agency can do more.
Okay.
And it really needs to be looked at, because again, it goes back onto this board.
Thank you, Evelyn, for your comments. Well, that's one way that we can resolve those issues, and we're going to be working on that. Any other?
I just think we need to, Mr. Chair, I think we need to just verify it, because I know that
Yes. Even
in our area down south, we were experiencing the problems on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd like to also, sorry to interrupt, Mayor. I tried calling in also, and it goes straight to a voicemail, or it'll just click. And this was on Friday, so it wasn't on Saturday.
So we'll confirm that, Ms. Evelyn, okay? And, you know, because that's, we want to make sure that we get the facts straight.
But just so it's noted, though, Ms. Evelyn, I think that, you know, you pointed out it's a management concern, and it's happened twice.
Yeah.
But I think on a board perspective, I think we will look into other options and other alternatives to see at least if we can get at least maybe another phone.
Yes.
But again, I think from what I recall, even down in our area, down south, we're experiencing a lot of issues on our landlines and on our cell phones on Friday.
That was GTA.
Yes.
Vice Chair Lindbergh.
I have to make a comment, sir. You know, based on the 911 we have, the system we have in the law, whenever the 911 goes down, it's supposed to be an automatic backup, either from GTA or ITV or whatever. They're supposed to support for that. I know where Ms. Seven is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
If buyers are calling in for rights and they're unable to get in, then it's going to come back to us that we're not providing that. So Mr. Balta, at this present time, is there anything in the policy that says that if the system goes down, do we have a backup? Do we have a backup system? And who do we call immediately to find out about it? Because Ms. Evans said that there was a time frame of how many minutes the system was down. Okay? I understand where she's coming from, but from an FDA standpoint, if they're looking at us to provide reliable services to the riders, and we can't provide that to them, is there a backup? Do we have a backup right now?
Do we have a backup?
Mm-hmm.
We do have a backup with regards to when situations like that happen. I have people in the morning up at the admin that are there. So in the event that the primary numbers are down at the TNC, then of course the people are able to contact the admin office. Okay. But please be advised, sir, that when I am notified, I take proper actions in that regard. I just don't sit down and allow the phone calls or the riders to not be serviced. I clearly understand the fact that with paratransit, we're transporting the most vulnerable people in Guam. And we're I can assure you right now, sir, that we are not denying people their rights. We are providing people with excellent service in my own view, in comparison with what had happened in the past. And we are saving the governor of Guam thousands of dollars in that regard. So, but with regards to the backup, I can assure you that we'll have a backup.
So where I'm coming from the board member side, is that the board needs to see something in writing. Okay. Say that we have a complaint like this, you know, phone system going down, I can say this, okay, this is our policy, this is what
we follow. I
understand. These are the people we call automatically. So that way, if FTA or somebody else will come down and question, okay guys, how do you rectify this? Okay, this is what we do. This is the step we have. So sure. What I'm asking you is, do we have a written policy now?
I have tasked Mr. Vice Chairman, the Transportation Management Center Supervisor, to develop a checklist in the event that different scenarios occur, and I will verify if in fact we do have a procedure in that regard, and I'll provide it to you.
You're preventive or?
Sure. Yeah.
I wanted to mention earlier that TRTA is not perfect. But we're gonna, do our darnest.
I understand that, sir.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't wanna.
I understand where I'm coming from.
Okay. I understand that.
I'm more in the fact that if we're saying to the public, this is what we provide to you, the services.
Yes.
Okay. And if the phone system should go down, what I'm saying is that I want to see that we at least have a policy that says, okay, when the phone system goes down, who do we call?
Phone right taken. Well, I'll take that in consideration.
And there's a response time.
Yes.
So that way we don't let the riders know that we have more than 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, there's going to be where there's no call.
And we will work on that. I mean,
that's what I'm asking.
Yes. Ms. Jackie? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jackie Gleisman. I'm the program coordinator too for DRTA. And I oversee the complaints that we received here. So if there's a complaint on the phone system, then you can document.
And then another complaint, and we will take a look at it, and we will provide your response to you and to the board. And we'll all okay. Thank you, guys. That's good. All right. At this time, you'll go to Roman numeral.
I think you have another.
Public? Oh, there's another one.
Mr.
Transport.
But you can come up there closer so we can, we have a...
You know, I'm really sorry I'm late. I actually spent the last half hour trying to locate you guys.
Okay.
And they had me go through on DPW and look up for you guys. Okay. But at any rate, my name is Frank Floyd, and I'm the CEO and president of Special Olympics Guam. And we've got in excess of 900 athletes, which I would think maybe about 25% are dependent on paratransit. I don't know what the comments were earlier, but I can honestly say this, that my hat's off to the current management and staff of Guam Mass Transit. And the reason why I say that is I've been through several managements, and I've actually called them up, tried to talk to them about, providing better service to our athletes. You gotta understand our athletes are all people with disabilities. And aside from offering them, sporting events, that leads to developing life skills so they themselves can become independent. I know at one time we were all 15 waiting to be 16, and you know that as soon as we got the ability or had the ability to drive ourselves, that opened up our freedom. unfortunately, some of the people with disabilities don't have that option, like we do. I have fought with Juan Mastrassen over the past, Mr. St. Augustine being one of them. That's not the point where I told him he was so worthless. I can't believe no one was paying him to sit around and do nothing. And I'm telling you right now, with Mr. Babalta and with the management, I started voicing my concerns in November of 2019. As far as our athletes getting to practice on a Saturday and then being picked up in a timely manner. Give you an idea. One of our practice sites is Ukudu High School. It's really ridiculous that the old policy you guys had was on a first-come-first basis, and it could be that again. But what I found really ridiculous is half the athletes that were between the ages of 30 to some are up to almost 60 years old need to get picked up at 9 in the morning so they can attend practice at Ukudu at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they're supposed to be picked up at 5:30, right? I've actually called Mr. Babalta on his cell phone. He gave me his cell phone. He says, look, if the driver isn't there to pick him up, call me. And it would be after dark. And these are people with disabilities. First off, they spend the whole day out there out the sun. It really is ridiculous. I've seen a big change in that. And I will tell you right now that because we haven't had any events, we've canceled our events since COVID came in. But I'm really looking forward to working with you guys, because if you guys can give us the same feedback and the same service to our athletes that you guys did towards the end of December all of December and early November, late November, you know, my athletes are really looking forward to bring more of them up. But that was really a real big issue. And him and I sat down, and I think I spent an hour and a half bending his ear on the issues that the athletes have been going through. And I'm not talking about just 3-4 years. I'm talking about since the existence of Guam Mastrassen. I understand these problems are not problems that just popped up last week or last year or even 2 years ago. But I see an improvement. And I just thought I'd come and voice my own opinion here. That I'm not a writer myself, but I've got people I service, people with disability that use transit and depend on transit. And, you know, I call them up and I ask them, hey, how are things going? Oh, they're good. They're treating us like we are actually part of this community. They're no longer saying, we got to pick you up at this time. If you miss it, big deal. So, you know, I want to thank you guys. I mean, there's a silver lining to this, right? And that is that there's a progression. And we don't expect it to be fixed tomorrow. But, I mean, it took what? I don't know how long you guys have been in existence. But it took that long. And at least my athletes, the older athletes, are seeing the difference. So I just wanted to come here. I didn't want to complain. I wanted to thank you guys. Because there is progress. And the progress is going actually towards improving the lives of people with disabilities. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's all I wanted to bring up. And again, like I said, I'm representing the athletes, I'm representing Special Olympics Forum. All right, so thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Short question.
You know, in your dealings with other people in the community regarding the performance of the mass transit system, what have you been hearing from your part?
In the old days, it was really bad. I haven't, you know, when you don't hear people complain, right? Mm-hmm. Then you know something is right. Now I've called my athletes and I've asked them, I check on them. You know, because they also use your transportation service to go shopping, mm-hmm. go see their doctors, just about anything they need to do outside of their confinement of their home. And they're saying it's so much better. They don't need to wait. They don't need to be picked up early for a 2 or 3 o'clock appointment. And then, you know, sometimes also being forgotten. I was explaining to him, and I was expecting, oh, there he is. I think he's an employee now of Guam Mass Transit. But he also sat on our board, but he was also an athlete. And he could tell you all the stories that happened several years ago. I mean, there was even one time at a board meeting where, you know, your provider tried to tell us that the bus went by there to pick him up and he wasn't outside. I said, you can't tell me that. Because you were standing there, they were supposed to pick him up at 7. We've been out there since 6:40. We don't want him to miss his bus. And this guy was saying, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. So we actually threatened that we were all going to load up in our car and go over to their dispatch and beat the hell out of the guy. That was when he sent a bus to pick him up. And that's a true story. I think Marlon can share that with you. But, you know, our athletes are not being stranded. And they're not. So I can only speak on behalf of our athletes. And I don't hear community complaining, per se. So,
well, thank you,
again, you know, you guys, whatever you're doing, You're going the right direction. Just keep going.
Thank you, sir. Well, I would encourage Mr. Babauta then to make sure that he's got your number for, you know, for some kind of info.
You know. Okay. he's actually given me his number.
Okay.
And he says,
great.
Look, if you have issues, call me on the weekend.
So feel free to you know, to communicate if you have any suggestions regarding improvements and even complaints. If you got complaints, so that's how we try to improve. We don't know what's happening out there.
Yes, I mean, there's no perfect system. Yes. But you guys are moving in the right direction. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to item number 7, the management report.
Jim?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I? Anybody else?
No.
Okay. Yeah, management report is the first one. The A is the transit management system. Are there any comments? You all got a copy previous to today's meeting. If there are no comments to Mr. Benefield's report, we can move on to the paratransit ridership. Directors, any comments on that one, on that report? Item part C, the maintenance vehicle fleet. Again, you got a printout there. Seems the whole complete. Any questions on that or comments on the didactic report? And on letter D, transit management center. On them for
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Melita is not here today. She left sick. But I have a copy of her report here. So in the event that anyone has any questions, please let me know.
I think it's pretty comprehensive from what we see. Seems like we're moving along with the numbers there, and it's and I would anticipate an increase in the when and if they change the condition of the emergency, you know. And on letter E, projects. Questions or comments from Mr. Babauta? And from looking at that that page, there seems to be a lot of there's a lot of work that has been done, but we're still moving forward with more and more improvements.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to mention to the Board of Directors that I do have updated schematics here on the board, on our facility. And at the end of the meeting, if you have time, I can sit down and go over the schematic.
Okay, sure.
And what it is that
whatever we propose to change on the current schematic, we'll bring that back to the A&E firm. They'll update the scheme, and it'll come back to us and review one more time. When we review and approve that, then it becomes the 30% design review is completed.
Okay.
And then, of course, they'll come back with a 60% design proposal, and then we will review, and then we'll send it back to them. When they update that, come back to us, and we agree, then it becomes 60%.
Okay.
So right now, we're working on 30% design review.
Okay, Mr. Bauta, once we approve the board approves that, that would you be able to make that available on the website so that the public can, you know, have access, see how it's going?
All right, sir, we'll do that.
Okay. All right.
So, Mr. Walter, that's 30% now, right?
This is the proposed 30% after we submit, I mean, provide them with our any updated comments or proposal. They'll make the required adjustments, and they'll forward that back to us to make sure that what we ask them to do are incorporated on the design. And if everything's fine, then the 30% design review is done. Then we go on to the 60%.
I know you're French. I'll think back a couple board meetings back, and you had explained to us that after the proposal has been presented to GRTA, is that going to be presented to the board so we can vote on it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So that be the 50% or the 100%?
No, every step of the way, sir, 30%. We have some suggestions that we want to provide to the A&E firm to make changes. They'll send that back to us. We'll review, then I'll present it to the board to look at and see if the board has any more, if they concur with the changes, then 30% design review is completed. Then we proceed on to the 60%. There's a lot of issues here that we need to be careful with, you know. It's not only the dimensions of the room or the dimension of the building, but we need to make sure that, like for example, we want to make sure that in the proposal that the lighting system is energy efficient. We want to make sure that the windows are energy efficient and, you know, we want to make sure that building is entirely ADA compliant. So all of those we have to, we're even looking at the maintenance facility that there are workbenches that are built so that our automotive mechanics will be able to work on those benches if they have to. So we're even looking at the dimensions of the entrance of the base, the maintenance base, to make sure that when the buses roll in for maintenance, that there's enough room for people to maintain and upkeep our buses. So there's a lot of minute requirements that we as a GRTA personnel and of course the board, we have to make sure that all of these are incorporated so that when, in the end, when the contract is finalized and the building is going to be built, that they're going to be the building that we approve 100%.
Okay. Do we know when that area over there is going to be cleared so we can just take a look at it? Because for me, I just like to walk in there and
yes,
just
sir.
See where everything is going to be placed.
Sure.
So I can have a little idea now how it's going to look like.
Right.
Okay. Because right now we have those, there's abandoned cars there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be cleared out?
Sir, it will be cleared out. As a matter of fact, the A&E firm owner, And I are communicating with the director of DPW. They need to get that work going as soon as possible, because in order for the engineers to complete their design, they have to, you know, test the soil. They have to look at the topography, so that when they work on the foundation or the facility, that the foundation is built appropriately based on the property that's existing. So yes, we are working with DPW to get that going. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
So there's supposed to be a kind of like an environmental study on that ground?
It's prior to
GRTA getting approval to use the funds. The Federal Transit Administration required GRTA to make sure that environmental impact study is completed. Yeah. Right, so that's definitely a big requirement in terms of building anything, you know. Yeah, and even in addition to that, the archaeological site inspection had to be performed.
Is that going to be a contract that we give out from GRTA to the environmental company that's going to be doing the study?
It's part of the, you know, it's the engineers will have to work that out, yeah.
Well, that's something the engineering.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not the architect.
The architects, the A&E firm has not only the designers, but even the structural people, the environmental people. You know,
okay.
These are engineers working together.
Well,
yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, who's the name of the architect right now?
Ballinger and Associates.
Okay. Well, Mr. Velazquez, so you keep us posted.
Sure,
you know,
yes, sir.
Yes. As for the progress that you're having there. The next item under new business, letter A, adoption of Department of Administration personnel rules and regulations. Mr. Balta.
Sir, and board members, we're reviewing the personnel rules and regs, and as what the legal counsel stated, we're going to pick and choose within those personnel rules and regs what we believe are applicable to GRTA. We just don't want to go ahead and pick and choose, adopt the entire DOA rules and regs. So we're going through that process right now. And when we're done, we'll forward that over to the legal counsel for review.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll present it to the board for another review and then, of course, adoption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The letter B, revenue. Revenue generating initiatives. Mr. Ibanez, have a comment on that?
Any questions that you have for me?
No. No.
There is a spreadsheet there.
Yes.
Vice Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I did a draft of potential revenues. Should we charge $1 for parking at UOG and GCC? And these are very conservative numbers. And also pass all the public laws that pertain to public parking.
It's attached
to this. It's attached to that, yes. And also, I also have a copy of it's at the last page. I also attached a copy of our sample memorandum of understanding, we have three things being reviewed right now from our Assistant Attorney General, Thomas Keeler. It's the policy for advertising on our buses, and it's also the MOU to charge them to advertise on our buses,
okay.
And then also the policy for starting a paid parking, and then I'm working with Jack Hattig to find parcels of government land that belong to CLTC that we can use for public parking and charge.
Mm.
Okay?
Sounds good. Okay, well, continue to keep up. Posted and
so if you look at the last page, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, even at $1, and you know the amount of, it shows the amount of days the schools are open and the classes, you're looking at close to $500,000 revenue a year, school year. If we charge $1,
wow.
It might be less if you charge 50 cents.
Okay, so how are we gonna charge the question is
there
going to be like a meter there, or?
That's the stage where we work together to discuss how we're going to.
So, when are you going to implement this?
Where did I get the numbers?
Where are you going to start?
We're starting now. I'm already working.
Planning.
I'm planning it. I'm going to work with my executive manager.
So, you don't have a date for implementation?
Okay. We'll continue to re-review it, and Mr. Ibanez will keep us posted.
As soon as the Assistant Attorney General approves that MOU for the advertising, I should be able to start putting advertisements on the buses.
What about the bus stops?
That's being worked on.
Because the one with the PSC at the next.
Okay. I'll work on that too.
Okay. Moving on to letter C, FTA grant program proposal for fiscal year 2020. Mr. Babalta?
Mr. Chairman and directors, we received a message from the Federal Transit Administration that from FY20 and thereafter, we have to work with the Department of Public Works to ensure that what we're proposing on our FTA proposals for funding are incorporated in the Guam Transportation Improvement Plan. I've spoken with the DPW director, and we're working on amending the GTEP to include our proposals for FY20. And I forwarded an explanation on our proposal for FY20 on email to all the board members. If anybody has any questions about that, please let me know, and I'll be more than happy to provide the information that I forwarded to all of you.
Okay. I just wanted to stress to some of my fellow board members to please make sure that when we use the chat group, you know, for communications, so that we can provide transparency and less of the duplication of efforts. Mr. Babalta will be sending all those information. So make sure that you read, and we read, and then of course, if there's any questions, or comments, suggestions, we'll get back to him on the same chat group. The next letter B, bus stop signs. Mr. Chrysostomus,
Sure. I'd like to inform the you and of course the directors that we're starting a southern shuttle on the 17th, and Mr. Chrysostomus is currently out on the road putting up bus stop signs. This is temporary only. We're working on the permanent bus stop signs, but it's similar to that. I'm sorry. Yeah, and it has information on the departure times, and it also has information on the fact that you know.
That's going to be at each stop.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At the southern.
So how
southern
many stops are we looking at?
17.
17.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And they all have the departure time, and if there's any questions, they can go on the internet, you know, to the website, or even contact the phone numbers for more. So it's, you know,
so just, is that permanent or just temporary?
Temporary.
I think it's a 4x8 signs. That's as I think
the permanent will be metal plate, the metal post, and of course we're going to include for the sign to be a sign that's pasted on the plate, so that in the event that there are changes, we don't have to remove the sheet metal, you know, we just put the
just the departure time.
Yeah,
just the departure time. Just last week, Mr. Babalta, I and Mayor Tosico was able to join Mr. Chrysostomo actually going down to all the bus stops, stopping there, pointing it out, and trying to get a feel of, you know, of the routes. And I was glad to see, to be informed that instead of several hours, I mean, mm-hmm. it's now an hour and a half at the most, right? Instead of 3 hours, going the whole route system. And and that's a big improvement for people that, you know, in the past, maybe they might have waited for that long a time, that length of the time. So, kudos.
Are you going to be contacting the print people?
The what, sir?
Are you going to be notifying the media people about the
Yes, sir. Level? Yes, sir. We have this on our website. We're going to put out an ad on the paper. And, so.
This weekend?
Or some kind
we're
going to
do
release.
It. We're going to do it this week. This weekend, before the, you know, before 17th? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Also, the you might want to mention the August 17 is the go. I mean the.
To go live?
Yeah, the go live for the Southern, right?
Okay. Mr. Virgil, the go live on August 17. Can you give us an update on that?
Real quick.
Are we talking about the fixed route or the?
Yes, sir. The fixed route.
Fixed route. For.
Fixed route. I believe that's smart under Mark's category for the actual fixed route.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about the transportation management system, I pointed it out on the.
Oh, it's on the report.
Yeah, which states that we're being flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that we're pulling back on it is because with the mounting, hasn't been put on yet because the mounting kit itself hasn't arrived. So that's a safety issue when we're testing. And so with regards to that, we're pushing back and we're being flexible with BroadMesh so that once the equipment does arrive, and they put it installed, then we can start timing for that. But as far as with the transportation management system, we're still on go, we're still on track, regardless of whether that timeline of August 17th for the TMS testing is implemented or not. And remember that testing is an ongoing process with us. So there's still steps ahead of us that we have to follow. And so, and it integrates with our training, with our tablet training, with our driver's training. So several of those things are the steps we need to take before we go out in the field and start testing them on the tablet. So we'll hold that. I'm having a meeting with our .NETCH counterpart, which is Tom Coogan, and we should have an updated timeline for when we can do that.
And we will be having that the regular meeting with Mr. Coogan Thursday?
Yes, night? As far as okay. Right now, yes, we are scheduled for that for this
okay.
Thursday. And so
okay.
We can cover that.
I encourage all directors, if you have the time to just log on the go-to meeting and so that we can, be updated as
yes.
To the progress at the.
Yes, sir. So we'll put out the go-to meeting with the invites to all of the directors. As they usually be on Thursdays, so that when you attend it, you'll be there present.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Okay.
I just wanted to add on our field trip for the southern route.
Yes.
I just wanted to point out that the areas I was sharing with the vice. The areas in which were selected, we were able to pinpoint out what would work, what wouldn't work. Also, what we could see as a positive improvement to areas where they were going to put sign placements and what have you, so it's more visible. And so that trip, I want to say, was well worth it for me, even though it took some time out again, but. It was a well worth the trip that I took down so I could actually see, most especially since Agate is the hub, see where there could be a flaw or there could be some area of improvement. And we're able to even point out the route, remember, from Hyundai subdivision.
Yeah.
It was actually going all the way around. So we were able to cut the time again. So I just wanted to share that with the rest of the board members. That route will be a lot better, and then Mr. Chrysostomo is working on a backup route. And so one of my questions was that if you were missed in this area, would you be able to catch the next bus, right? And so instead of waiting. So there's a lot of kinks, I think, right now that they're working on, but I was glad to actually be on that route to see where we could actually improve on. So.
I know there's a lot of, especially down south, there's a lot of school bus stops there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way GRTA can use those bus stops?
Sir, currently...
they only use it during the morning.
Sir, currently the local leadership is not...
feasible?
Allowing us to do that because, with the younger population, the school children, mm-hmm. mixing in with the adults, it's something that... they're not supporting us in that regard. So we have to put up our own bus shelters or bus stops.
at least in the meantime.
I'm just thinking about the inclement weather.
I understand, sir.
If it rains now, there's no place for these people to stand. I mean, they're waiting for buses to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're wet again to get on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to soak our vehicles. Yeah. I mean, we got to clean them up, okay? And if they can stay within the bus stops, the school bus stops,
mm-hmm.
at least they're protected.
Yeah.
For pickup. So I'm assuming if you can contact the superintendent of DOE and ask them, we can have a collaboration with them and us to use those things.
I understand where you're coming from, sir, but the safety of the children is something that they're very mindful of. So, but, you know, one thing that we can do is to make sure that the riders are informed whenever there's an inclement weather, that they bring an umbrella with them, you know, so, yeah, mm-hmm. because it's not only in Guam, but throughout the states, the United States, and even in Honolulu, you know, not every bus stop has a bus shelter.
Yes.
But people bring with them, you know, equipment and things that they need to protect themselves, so.
No. Raincoats and umbrellas, you know.
Yeah. But certainly, sir, your concern is well taken.
Mm-hmm. That would be ideal if we could.
I'm assuming for these bus stops are being used for the kids when they come in the morning.
Yeah.
So when they get picked up in the morning, they go to school.
Yeah.
It's hardly being used for the whole day.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
And since we have people, riders that are going to be using them, be picked up during the daytime
mm-hmm.
between the 12-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they have no place to go, why can't we just go ahead and use those bus stops?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if it comes to a point where myself to call the superintendent and ask that question, I'll be glad to know, okay? Because basically where I'm coming from is, I'm not only protecting GRTA, but I'm looking at the riders.
Sure, I understand. Okay? Sure,
they're our foremost people that we care of,
mm-hmm.
that we take care of. So basically, if I'm more concerned of their well-being, because of the climate weather we have, I'm just trying to protect them and protect us in the same token, okay?
Okay.
So where I'm coming from is that, if I can pretty much use all the avenues out there and try to see whether or not I can get some answers, then basically it'll be fine for us. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not trying to overstep your
authority. No, I understand.
What I'm just trying to say is this, okay? I'm for myself, man, I can talk to people,
sure.
right? And I can get information.
Mm-hmm.
And I can bring that back to you guys and back to you and to whoever to decide now how we're going to do this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know Mr. Sweet was very, he was very, when the information I got from him about the bus tour, I was very impressed,
mm-hmm.
okay, because of the fact that we have two or three bus stops per village
mm-hmm.
for the people to come to get picked
sure,
up,
sure.
which
okay.
is good,
yeah.
okay, because I, you know, we're there to provide the services to the people, to the riders, and the more bus stops we have, it just makes us
okay.
better,
okay.
good for us.
Sir.
So in that topic, I'm just thinking, you know.
Oh. Yes, sir.
You know. Mr. Vice Chair, I think we can task Mr. Babata to go ahead and do research on that, and then whatever he finds out, he can communicate to us so that all of us, you know, are on the same page.
Sure.
Of
what and the other thing, real quickly, Mr. Chairman and directors that I'm looking at is, every year, the Federal Transit Administration provides us with funding.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, about $1.9 million. So I'm working with my staff to start looking at bus stops that are where most of our riders are
mm-hmm.
meeting, you know, riding our buses, and we're going to start planning locations and construction of bus shelters.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, perhaps we can build, you know, 4 bus shelters using federal funds.
Mm-hmm.
We can allot $100,000 a year from mm-hmm. the $1.9 million. We can perhaps put up 4 bus shelters. So we're looking at every possibility that we can
okay.
pursue to ensure that we continue to improve our,
okay.
our transit
okay.
system.
And I think we have mentioned before about taking a look at maybe sponsorship from...
Yes, sir, that's right.
You know, you mentioned sponsorship from companies maybe that might want to
mm-hmm.
help build, you know, or support. And
mm-hmm.
I know that just looking into that.
Is there any we have anything in our budget right now that would allow us to maybe purchase the actual equipment and maybe work together with DPW for temporary bus stops? So before they put out the permanent bus stops in certain villages, mm-hmm. sometimes what they'll do is they'll come up and they'll put up the temporary bus stops, at least for a temporary shelter, like the one we saw in Pneumatic. You know, they were saying that that one would actually be over by the fire station or mm-hmm. the one over at public health. Yeah. Those are perfect areas for mm-hmm. those temporary bus stops, at least for now.
Sure.
In the meantime, I mean, if there's funding that we have, maybe, and then work together with DPW
sure.
to have them, and besides, they have all the specs already for the bus stop.
We can explore that, Mr. Director, and you know, with our bus stops. Very important is the fact that we need to make sure that it's ADA compliant.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
But so that's a good point, though. I'll go ahead and check with the director okay. and see if they can support us in that regard.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Balka. Under item number 9, we have new business, letter A, proposed no-show policy.
Mr. Chairman and directors, The purpose of the no-show policy is to help us and our staff to maximize the capacity of our vehicles. And I say that in all sincerity because we have riders sometimes who schedule and when our drivers show up, they don't go out to get picked up. So, you know, with that type of situation, we're losing capacity on our buses and vans. So what was brought up to my attention is the fact that we need to make sure that we maximize our capacity. And to maximize the capacity, we have to start communicating with those who are not taking their reservations appropriately. And if it comes down to them not, making their rights at a certain number of frequency, then it may force us to give them warning, and then from warning to suspension again, of course. But we do have a policy put together. Attorney Tom Keeler is reviewing the policy for legal issues. And once he reviews the policy, then I'll forward that to the board for, review and action. Yeah. But I believe there's a copy of the policy.
Yes, a copy of the policy. Okay. We'll take a closer look at that. We'll await Attorney Keeler's review, and then the next board meeting, mm-hmm. we'll take action.
Is this the FTA? The
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh.
I have a question regarding the policy that the director and the board of directors has. That been brought for the public review?
We're reviewing. We put a proposal together.
Yes.
It's being looked at by the legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
When he's done looking at that. Through the legal process, then of course we have to present it to the board and then and also the public for mm-hmm. under the Administrative mm-hmm. Adjudication Act. Mm-hmm. So
the public does have say to the changes. I'm going to tell you right now that we do have those in policy.
Uh-huh.
It's just that it has not been been utilized or implemented in the past years, and we need to be careful with that because sometimes the problem is not only with the riders, it's also with when we make the schedule and then we call in the cancel way ahead, the drivers are not notified. For example, that happened to me several times where I had cancel ahead since the morning, and then lo and behold, the driver showed up at my door. Okay. they were not informed. So we need to be very cautious on how we do that, because sometimes there's an error from dispatch, even if the rider is doing their responsibility. So that door swings both ways. And I've seen a lot of that.
Okay.
So before we decide to put that into implementation, I think we need to work from the inside out and outside in together here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your comments.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll go ahead and make sure that the the public through the media and etc. The next item on our agenda is the executive session. That's at this time we'll do a recess. I want to thank all of you for your participation and attendance. KEI, thank you. Over there. And, huh? You got an appointment? Fine. Okay. Now we're going to have...
You have a forum.
Yes, we still have a forum.
Huh? You still have a phone?
Yeah, still have a phone. So where can we meet? I mean,
oh, we could go and close the
smaller place.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to give you my actual.